There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Looking at one of the top news stories of the week now, the National Media Council outlining a new regulatory framework for UAE residents earning money from online activities, including social media influencers. In the studio to talk to us about what it means from a legal point of view, we're very pleased to have Lee McMahon, who is the co-founder and principal of the law firm Support Legal. Lee, it's lovely to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What's your first takeaway looking at this set of regulations? What do we know and what are we still looking to know?
Yeah, so the law, obviously the regulations have only been announced just a little over a week ago. It's very new in terms of what they've released to the public. However, you know, we understand the reasons why they're doing this, because the regulations were designed around a very, very growing area of advertising that was taking place in this region. And to date, it has been a very grey area. So they had to deal with it, specifically around the fact that social media influencers were often freelancers and people that were outside of a traditional company license.
So now they're going to need to get their own license.
That's correct. If and we've spoken about this before in terms of generally as a side hustle, if you're undertaking any business activity where you're deriving a profit, you need a business license in this country.
You often work with the agencies that hire the influencers in your law firm. In your experience, are many of the influencers licensed? Would we say sort of 50% of those that you end up dealing with through your clients? Less, more?
Actually, I think that with the there are some agencies where they have certain influencers under that agency, but actually most influencers are not licensed traditionally. They are kind of a freelance, and they're very influencers by nature. They're constantly traveling around. They're very much transient, given the nature of what they're trying to sell. They want to be in locations that ultimately look like they're selling products.
Would a normal freelance license cover this, or is it going to be a special type of license?
No, so this will be a special type of license, and this is designed around capturing those who are ultimately selling goods or services, or at least promoting goods or services through online media, including sort of social media platforms. So it will be a separate license.
What about those that are already licensed? I know of several bloggers, for example, who have wanted to cover themselves. And so they've gone out through free zones and have got kind of almost like the closest license they could to their activities. So media and marketing services licenses, for example, or e-commerce licenses. Will they still, as far as you understand it, be able to trade under those e-commerce licenses, or will they need this new license as well?
Yeah, so there's always been e-commerce licenses, but this will be separate. So if they're looking to sort of promote products, then they'll need to go under this new license category. But it's important that, one of the things with these licenses is that if you're actually deriving an income from promoting these products or services, you would be in a situation where you'd need this license. For those who are kind of bartering, where they get a free hotel room and they need to be sort of seen to take a few photos with a few hashtags promoting a hotel, that seems to be outside of the area of this license.
I mean, I realize that this question requires an interpretative answer, but why do you think they're doing this?
Well, it's probably the most the fastest growing area of advertising in the region. You can see, we've historically always known that you've seen these social media influencers being famous for being famous. It's the government needs to be able to license and regulate this part, because the rest of the advertising industry have already been regulated and have to abide by UAE laws around, what you can put in an advertisement and certain rules and regulations around what you can't do and can do. And social media has been outside of that area. And so I think it's very important for them to actually update the regulations accordingly.
Outside of that area, in the UAE or globally? I don't know what the situation is in other countries.
Well, in the UAE, actually the UAE's been quite forward-thinking in actually regulating this kind of online and social media influencing space. The US, the Federal Trade Commission, a few years ago did deal with social media influencing separately. And what they did is said that influencers have to disclose that they are ultimately promoting a product or a service. And so that's why you would have seen on things like Instagram, where you had a hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored post.
You deal, as we said, with the agencies that offer and hiring the freelancers. What do you see as being the biggest issues in this space? When you get called in as a lawyer, why are you getting called in?
Yeah, well, the key thing is, so one thing is payment terms. These people are individuals. So often agencies or brands are obviously very uncomfortable dealing with an individual. And unfortunately, to date, there's been no kind of other way around that, particularly if they've got 10 million followers. The brands kind of just want to deal with them. The other key issues is around the actual contract you need to have with an influencer. We've seen a lot of basically a letter where they say, this is what I want you to do, this is when I want you to post, and this is how much I'm going to pay you. But they don't talk about what you should have in the photo, what you shouldn't have in the photo. What happens is if you promote our product and then five posts later, you actually do something that is ultimately against the brand's own guidelines. And that, as you could, if you recall the Logan Paul situation on YouTube, that was a perfect example where all the sponsors ran away very quickly. And so you need to have a contract in place to say, if you do something that is either contrary to YouTube's terms and conditions or Instagram's terms and conditions, or it's against the company's policy, we want to be able to ask to remove that particular post.
But it's not just, I mean, that surely isn't restricted to social media influencers. I mean, I can think off the top of my head of about three or four sports stars and their sponsors that have had, you know, very similar situations. How will regulation help with that?
I think the regulation is going to allow you to, it's kind of knowing who the person is behind their sort of online social media name. So you're going to be able to understand who they are. You will be able to report them if they are ultimately doing something against the law. And ultimately, it's much easier to be able to contract with a licensed entity or a licensed person when it comes to giving them both the influencer some comfort and also the brand some comfort in dealing with these people.
Whose responsibility? I mean, obviously, it's going to be whoever is engaged in the online activity, their responsibility to get their own license. But could there also be penalties for brands, for agencies to deal with people who don't have a license?
Yeah, and it's early days, but I think that would be the smarter way for the government to do this, is to basically say that it could be a fine on both sides of the fence. Because if you're trying to enforce this against an influencer who may or may not be here, it is very difficult to do that. But if you sort of say that if you are engaging with someone who is a resident in the UAE for this kind of activity, you must ensure that that person is licensed. No different to if you were to get and engage anyone else without a trade license here. It's the same thing applies, where a fine is on both sides of the fence.
Is it just a fine? What will the penalties be for working without a license in this case?
They've announced that it's 5,000 dirham if you caught to basically not be licensed and undertaking this activity. But it hasn't obviously been disclosed whether that is both sides. At the moment, it just seems to be on the influencer side.
There is obviously, under UAE law, sort of modesty, dress, alcohol, gambling and things that need watching, etc. Is there any suggestion that there's an element of that creeping into social media influencing that needs to be regulated?
Yeah, that's right. And that's part of the reason as well that they would like to regulate this area, so that the same guidelines that you would have for any other advertising would apply for social media posts and for influencers. And that would come down to, if you were, for example, using a social media influencer to do a post, and then the second post happens to be that they're drinking or they're doing something else that's contrary to the UAE, you know, these are the things that you need to both deal with and having a contract realistically with the influencer when dealing with them, to make sure that it's you're protected as a brand.
We are talking the new rules coming out from the National Media Council. This is a new regulatory framework for UAE residents who earn money from online activity, including but not restricted to social media influencers. We are joined by Lee McMahon, the co-founder and principal of the law firm Support Legal. Lee, thanks for staying with us.
Thank you.
And we're getting a legal perspective on what these new regulations could possibly mean. I'm getting a number of questions from bloggers, food bloggers and lifestyle bloggers. First off, asking, does this also apply to them?
Well, if they are ultimately promoting and getting paid to promote products and services, then the answer is yes. And I'm fully conscious that to date, a lot of these bloggers and a lot of other sort of maybe influencers who have made a business out of doing this have gone off and got a freelance license company in another free zone, for example. That's fine, and that was probably the best they could do to date. And I'm interested to see whether or not people will start to actually move into this particular license category.
Well, one travel and food blogger, I can see award-winning travel and food blogger, has come in to ask, would bloggers who are registered with agencies, so working through an agency such as, I don't know, ITP Live or one of the others that have sprung up to deal with influencers and bloggers, do they also need a license, or is going through the agency enough? Does that cover you?
Well, it's a very good question. I think that it's because it's very early days, they haven't actually kind of gone down the path of explaining whether or not if these people are ultimately operating as a consultant freelancer to that agency, then the answer probably would be yes, they would need to have their own license. You can't just have it unless they're an employee or there's some other arrangement and they're on the visa of that agency, then it might be different.
Right, but if you're just dealing through an agency, as more are, that's not enough, that's not a license.
You know, it's currently not clear, early days. However, based on what I've seen in other kinds of situations similar to this, if they're a freelancer essentially just being represented by an agency for the purposes of, you know, acquiring more products and services for promotion, then the answer would be I think they would need to go under this license.
What about influencers and bloggers who have full-time jobs? So they're on a visa because they are employed. Is an NOC enough, or do you also need the separate license?
And again, this is sort of early days, but because we've looked into this and we did try to contact the National Media Council to get more clarification around this, because wherever most people, and half your luck if you can actually be a social media influencer full time and make a business out of it. But as you know, this is kind of someone's side hustle to make a certain amount of money. They like doing this on the side. And it's unclear as to whether or not there is a way for them, if they have a full time job, to get an NOC and ultimately still continue doing this.
I wonder whether it won't force payments offshore, whether it'll just become something of a grey market industry.
Look, that's always going to be the difficult side. You know, social media influencers, you know, one of our clients who's the influencer.com, which aggregates influencers in the region, says that a lot of the influencers come from Saudi and elsewhere, and they often come to Dubai to take their photos, do their promotions, because obviously the hotels are lovely and the backdrop's lovely. But the fact of the matter is they still fly back and they're a resident of another country. So it's these kind of areas where, unfortunately, it is very difficult to understand how this license is going to apply.
What if you're on a spouse's visa?
I think the spouse's visa has always been the same situation, even for those who are doing side hustle. You really need to, if you're going to be doing a business and undertaking it, you have to get a work permit. And if you're doing your own business and it's a licensed activity, such as this one, you would have to go and get a license.
We've been talking about bloggers and social media influencers, but this new framework, these new rules, they cover pretty much anyone making money over the internet. What about people who are selling or advertising products on their Facebook pages or their Instagram pages? Maybe they're making jewelry or cupcakes at home. Maybe they're involved in a multi-level marketing company where they're advertising their products online, but not necessarily taking money over the internet. Where do they sit?
Again, it's probably not clear. I think that if they're deriving, there was one situation, obviously, which they tried to clarify around sort of the bartering. So we've spoken about that around if you barter something. But if it's barter something like you're given a car and ultimately you're going to be left with a car after promoting it,
which you could sell,
then that would be triggered to be a licensed activity, as opposed to being given, say, for example, some clothing to wear and then ultimately just promoting it. That seems to be not the case per se.
But if I'm selling something offline, the energy powder, you know, the diet powder drink stuff, for example, smoothie mixes, I've put the products up on my Facebook so that people know it's there, but I'm not taking the money over the internet. Am I an e-commerce trader? Am I a on-the-ground trader? How does that work?
If you're not taking the money over the internet, but you're still selling it and you're going to be taking the money in this country, then yes, you need a trading license, whether it's an e-commerce trading license or it's going to be a general trading license.
This is something that Callan's actually just texted in. He says, an innocent question. He's talking about something that a friend is doing when it comes to sort of promoting a property opportunity on Facebook. He says, is he basically involved in freelance promotion? Does that need to be covered by these new regulations as well?
Well, if he is deriving profit or income from that promotion, then the answer is yes.
Presumably, the social media influencers and the bloggers that we're talking about will also be liable for VAT if they're earning over the threshold.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's always sort of been the case right from the beginning with the VAT. Most of them probably will sit under the threshold, but those who do would have to be registered. Now, that's another benefit of this license, is now they can actually go down a proper license category for the kind of activity they're doing and register then for VAT.
Earlier, I asked you what was the situation overseas, and you said that Dubai's a little bit ahead of the game in this. What's the situation in your home market in Australia?
It's a very good question. I don't think there is any regulations currently in Australia. There is always advertising regulations in every country, as you know, but social media influences and the way that advertising and the different new areas of advertising, they're constantly growing. I don't think the advertising regulations have caught up generally around the world. I think it will, because it's such a growing area. And as you can see in the US, where they've basically said, look, we don't want you to pretend that you're not promoting. People need to understand, because they're following you, that you are trying to promote a product or a service.
Melks made an interesting chat point earlier, though, when we were just chatting, which was, at which point do you need to get a license? If you are a social media influencer and you've got followers, but you're not making any money, am I right in thinking you don't need a license because
you're not
a business? So when do you get the license? Is it before anyone pays you anything? If your first gig gets you just 1,000 dirhams, that's not even going to come close to covering the cost of a license. Do you need to get to a certain size?
Well, again, they haven't been specifically clear on this. However, in this country, as you know, it's kind of pre-purchasing. You have to have a license before you earn any income. It's not earn enough income, and when you earn enough income, then now go and pay for a license. So I would have thought that in this one, as soon as you think you're going to start taking money through promotion online in this country, then yes, you need to get a license up front.
Is that not going to weed out a lot of people who are in this business, a lot of the smaller fish?
Absolutely, and it might actually increase some of their fees that they're asking for to cover the costs of having a license. So, you know, these are new things that are coming out, so we'll have to monitor this and see what it's like in terms of how much people are charging generally. For those who are charging small amounts, I'll have to increase it. And I actually think that you'll start seeing agencies giving contracts now to influencers saying, you know, that you must please provide a copy of your license for us to be able to pay you, which is probably the way it should be, and that's going to force influencers to go and get these licenses.
I'm certainly hearing from more bloggers and people doing business social influencing that is already the case because of VAT. Last question has just come in on Facebook. What about selling goods second hand on Facebook, even on Dubizzle? Does that count as engaging in e-commerce?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because the whole e-commerce, the government's very aware of this secondhand market. At the moment, if you're selling secondhand goods, it's not coming under a licensed category. But what people unfortunately are doing are saying they're secondhand when they're actually kind of brand new and selling them, or saying it's a gift that I was given and I'm not using it anymore. And unfortunately, that's kind of them getting around what they should be actually having licensed. And the government's aware of that, and they are looking at ways to allow it to be easier. And that's mainly because they're trying to prevent consumer issues happening, where you've bought a pair of sunglasses that weren't real and someone said they were real, and you've got no recourse against someone on a secondhand website or Facebook or something like that.
Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning, Lee McMahon, co-founder and principal of the law firm Support Legal. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.